Welcome to the Healing for Male Survivors podcast. This is a podcast for male survivors of sexual abuse and assault, whether as a child or as an adult. Know that you are not alone and the abuse was not your fault. My name is Mike Chapman. I'm a certified recovery life coach and also a survivor. Let's find hope and healing together. And welcome to the Healing for Male Survivors podcast. We are on Tuesday Night Live. Again, we meet Tuesday nights with a live audience. If you'd like to join us for future podcast events, you can go to polarlifeconsulting.com/live, and it gives you all the information on how to join us. And today, our guest is Roger M. Roger has been dealing with the effects of childhood sexual abuse for most of his life, including issues with same-sex attraction. Roger is also part of the Husband Material community and has shared several of his poems during the last two Male Survivor Awareness Day events, the most recent of which just made Drew Aboah's podcast episode for the Husband Material podcast with Drew Aboah. And so, welcome, Roger. And if you are in the audience, we have several people in the audience today. Welcome. Again, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to put that in the Q&A, and you can be as anonymous as you would like. Put whatever name you want us to read. Manually enter it each time in the text. Otherwise, we will just say, one of our audience members is saying. And with that, let's go to our four questions. Now it's time for four questions, that part of the podcast when we get to know our guest a bit better by asking a few questions. Let's go. What is your favorite food memory?
My favorite food memory was one evening at dinner, my mother tried to fool me. She tried to sneak by me liver and onions. And well, it was just basically liver, and it didn't work. As soon as I took a bite, I knew it was not beefsteak, and I was totally upset. But we all had a big laugh over it, and I couldn't believe that she would try to deceive me like that. But we all had a great laugh over it, and I'll never forget that, trying to sneak in liver on me. Yuck. Gives me goosebumps even thinking about it.
Wow. So what is your favorite Christmas or holiday memory?
Favorite Christmas or holiday memory? It was when I was about 10 or 11, and we lived in Reno, Nevada, and it was snowing. I sat with my mom in the dark in the living room watching it snow, watching it come down in the streetlight. We just kind of had a moment there. That was also the Christmas where we were financially doing better. So that Christmas morning, we all got all kinds of toys and stuff, which was extremely unusual. So that was probably my happiest holiday memory.
Nice. What is your favorite church memory?
Wow. My favorite church memory is the time that I was having a terrible, terrible struggle, and everything seemed to be conspiring to just make it worse. And I was praying, God, you know, please help me stop the temptation, stop the anxiety, stop the tension. And it was just getting worse. And I walked over to church, opened the door, and went in. And I went down to the front, sat in the pew, and I just started railing at God. And I said, what are you trying to do? Push me to my very limits? And just like that, it popped into my head, no, Roger, I'm trying to get you not to set any.
Wow.
And that was an epiphany.
That sounds very special. So what is your favorite scripture or any inspirational quote that has helped you on your spiritual journey, and what about it speaks to you?
Psalm 91 has got to be probably my favorite passage in the Bible. It speaks of God's protection, that if you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, God will be with you and will protect you and watch over you. In other words, if you stay close to me, I'll protect you. I've clung to that scripture many, many times. Read that passage over and over. I've taught on that passage, and I think it's very applicable for today.
Nice. Well, Roger, tell us about your story, however you want to tell it. Your history of abuse, whatever you'd like to share and you feel comfortable sharing, and then go on to your recovery journey. What have you found that has helped in your healing? What has worked, what hasn't worked, and so far, and what you're doing now?
All right. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a preacher. He was a pastor, evangelist. He planted several churches in California. My mother played the piano, sang, played the accordion, she played the bass fiddle. She was just a one-man band. In fact, when he met her, she had her own country western band. She was not saved. She got saved in one of his revivals. They married, and my mom had some issues, so she couldn't have children. So they prayed, and God opened her womb, as they say in the Bible. I was the first, and 2 years later, my sister was born. And that was a true miracle. As I grew up, we moved around a lot, so I didn't have a whole lot of friends that I got close to. So all I knew was what was happening in my family, and I didn't really get to see what happens in others' families. So I thought that I had a great childhood. You know, I thought I just had a really nice childhood, and my parents never argued, they never divorced, they never separated, they never argued in front of me and my sister. And so I just thought, you know, we were doing great. What I came to accept as normal was that my father would touch me inappropriately at times, and usually while I was asleep. And but eventually, at some point, I became aware of what was going on, and I woke up. And once I woke up, things escalated. And we kept running into families who were very sexual. Their kids were very sexual. And so we kept running into those kinds of people. And I thought, well, that's just the way the world is. I mean, that's just what you do. It's just, it's harmless. It's fun. It's just experimenting, exploring. What's the big deal? Then it was, I got into my teenage years, and we settled down, and I started realizing what was going on in other people's families and everything. And I realized something was not right in my family. Things were going on that were not going on and my friends' families. And I got real angry and everything. And me and my dad didn't get along very well at all. So he didn't do anything with me other than stuff like that at night. You know, no baseball games, no football games, no taking me to, you know, camping or anything like that, you know. So that's all I had with my dad. And so I thought, that's, you know, maybe that's just the way it is. And, you know, you do what you got to do. Well, I soon realized that because of the way I was sexualized, that I had a draw toward my same sex, an attraction. It wasn't a love thing. It wasn't a lust thing. It was more of a curiosity thing. I just wanted to, I think if you got to know somebody and you liked them and everything, well, you know, then you get intimate. I soon realized that that's not how it goes. I lost some good friends through some misunderstandings like that. So I decided that to solve this problem, I would get married. I just needed an outlet for this. And so I found someone and proposed and dated for a while, and we got married. And I realized soon after that this does not go away. While I was, you know, how as they say, fully functional as a heterosexual, I still had this draw. There was something about guys that I felt I needed a deeper connection with. And so that's the way it went. Well, that marriage produced two kids, two both boys. And when my first boy was born, I was kind of terrified, because I realized that the stuff that me and Dad did really messed me up. And I didn't want to do that to him. So I just pushed him away. And I soon realized after about 5 or 10 years, that did not help him. That hurt him badly. So when my second boy came along 8 years later, I made an attempt to at least be there for him. And he's turned out great. The marriage only lasted 14 years. After a while, my confusion was getting crazy. My wife didn't know what was going on, and she didn't know how to deal with it. And she asked for a divorce. And so I gave up, and I felt like such a failure. I felt like I was just a total human waste. I couldn't be a good Christian. I couldn't be a good father. I couldn't be a good husband. I couldn't be a good man. I just was a total failure in all categories. So I gave up. I threw myself into work, did whatever and whoever wanted me. That led me to suicidal ideation. And that's when I really decided that, you know, my mom taught me about Jesus. She led me to the Lord, and she told me, and I think maybe she knew something was going on, because she said, no matter what happens to you in life, no matter where, doesn't matter what it is or how bad it is, if you pray, Jesus will help you. And so I went back to church and I prayed, Jesus help me. And he led me to another woman who I was totally honest with, totally told her I had just gotten out of a year-long relationship with another man, and I had issues, and you know, we're not going to be having kids because I got fixed. So, you know, if that's in your plan, I'm not the guy for you. Well, she says, okay, that's cool. I don't need that. And so we got married. That lasted about 20 years. And she ended up changing her mind. So we ended up getting a vasectomy reversal. And I had a daughter. And she's a sweetheart. And she has two grandkids. And I have two grandkids through her. Thank you. And yeah, she lives near me, and it's been really cool. But after my first breakup, marriage broke up, I decided to try and get some counseling, and I just pulled one out of the phone book and started going. That doesn't always work. He was very gay affirming, and it was not good. And I realized I needed a Christian counselor. And so I started looking around, and there was kind of a dearth back in the 80s. Over years of trying and trying somebody else and trying somebody else, I began to realize that there was more to this than just what happened to me. I had some belief systems that were totally wrong. I had had some patterns that have developed in my behavior and personality that were not healthy. And so we started working on that, cognitive behavioral therapy and stuff like that. Right. And I found Living Hope Ministries, which deals with Christians who are dealing with same-sex attraction. and I'm active on their forums, and that has been very helpful. But I also found Husband Material, which helped me to deal with the porn addiction that I ended up with. That's been his Drew's system was really good at digging down deeper, getting to the root. And that really helped. The same-sex attraction for him was basically cognitive behavioral therapy. But he goes beyond that. He said, you know, stop fighting, look at it, examine it. Don't be afraid to dive in there and see where it's coming from. And that was huge. That really helped.
Right. Yeah. That HM is really, though they say it's for porn addiction, but it's really for any sexual brokenness issue. And so many men who don't necessarily struggle with porn, or like in my case, I was already free from pornography addiction for a few years, but I joined and it still helped so much with those sexual brokenness issues, including CSA.
Yeah. So this has been a long, long, long journey. I'm not a young guy. I just had my 75th birthday, and it's weird to realize you're 3/4 of a century old. But it's and to realize that I have been struggling with this whole time. It's tough. The thing that was depressing me lately was that I still occasionally am bothered by thoughts and fantasy and stuff that I really don't need in my head. I've been doing the taking every thought captive and getting rid of it thing, and that helped. And also to just appreciate where this is coming from. I have a huge father wound that he left me, and that I find is where a lot of the attraction is coming from. I'm still wanting that approval. I'm still wanting that affirmation, that validation. And it's kind of pathetic, I know, but I'm still somehow trying to please my dad.
And that, what you talk about, they talk about a lot in Husband Material as well, especially in the Academy, that if you have certain fantasies and so forth, it's actually healthy to confront them, to dig into them and see why they're there. That fantasy is a window to our soul. And instead of just trying to ignore it or pray it away, confront it. I heard recently a quote that said, chase your pain and you will find healing.
Oh, wow.
And and that's so true in my case, that if something's causing you pain, look it square in the eye, figure out why it's there, what's causing it. And instead of just shoving it down, ignoring it, deal with it, because there's the story behind it. And confronting that story can allow you to heal. And that's so key. And I love that quote, because that describes a whole bunch of my healing journey, is confronting those pains. And like HM, those fantasies and so forth, when you're looking at porn, what you type into the search bar, because very few men nowadays, just show me vanilla porn. No, they want, especially after a while, now show me some of this, some of column A. Let me get column A and a little bit of column B. And what's this over here? Show me more of D. We all lights of D. Let me get triple D and quadruple D. Maybe throw some E in there too. And then you learn what you like. So it's like very, very specific. Why are you going there? There's a story there. Why am I attracted to D and not F? Why is it that and not this? And there's a whole story behind it. And it's usually something that the little boy wants. Another quote, Drew quotes, he didn't come up with this, but he's quoted it. Heal the boy and the man will appear.
Yeah.
And all of those wounds that that little boy, that little Roger, that little Mike experienced, that if you can help that boy heal, then your true mature self can evolve and come forth.
Yeah. And I felt like a boy. I felt like I got arrested at a certain age, and a lot of my interactions with people and everything are coming from that kind of a mentality. I'm thinking, what is,
that's extremely true, that when we are abused, a big part of our psyche gets locked at that age. And then as you heal, you can start to mature, go back on track, and mature like you normally would have as you get healing. So, yeah, which kind of explains why at 60, I'm now buying my first house, 30-year mortgage at 60. It's like, okay, though my life expectancy, my grandfather lived until his late 90s. So, yeah. I don't know if long story, maturity or whatever, I just was not even ready to accept that responsibility or feel I was worthy of that responsibility. You get stuck at that age for sure.
Yeah. The two women that I married, the first one was very quiet, very compliant. And I think I did that on purpose because I needed somebody who wouldn't confront me. And the second one I married was a little more confrontive, but eventually she became totally compliant too. And that didn't happen. Now, I am married again, and I thank God for bringing this woman to me because she won't let me get away with my crap. She calls me on, and she, I'm not going to take that, you know? So,
good for her.
Yeah, she has been a real blessing and helped me along to grow and learn. She was what I needed.
Right. Excellent. So you've talked a little bit more about your healing. What are you doing nowadays? What has helped you in your healing journey? And before we continue up, there was one little comment. One of our audience members going back to favorite scripture verse. He said, I needed to hear that thing that God said to you. So, yeah, you blessed that audience member as well. So, yes, please continue.
I think I got on the internet and I discovered Male Survivor in the middle of my I hit bottom, and I thought, I've got to find something to deal with this. I finally have accepted that what happened to me was sexual abuse, and that it has in fact affected me. And I went looking on the internet and came across Male Survivor. I got on Male Survivor and I started hearing all of these stories, and I was just shocked. I wept. I thought, oh yes, I feel that way too. Oh yeah, that happens to me too. Oh my God, yes, I feel that exact thing. And it was just astonishing. The fact that I was not alone was just tremendous. And that's where I really started dealing with the complicity thing.
You were partly to blame, and you were blaming yourself and realizing, no, you weren't.
Yes, that's where I started really digging into that, and it started hitting home, and that was tremendous. That was just tremendous too.
Right.
But
yeah,
I went
Male Survivor was huge in my own healing. And for the audience members who don't know, it is a online forum. It's been around. It's free. It's been around for about 20 years. thousands of men from across the world sharing their stories of being sexual abuse survivors, either as child or adult. And so many just pour their hearts out about what they dealt with. But then there's such a treasure trove of information. So there's a search bar, so you can search on anything. They encourage anonymity, so they want you to create a fake name to go on it, because it is open, it is Googleable, it is searchable, it is open to the public. So they encourage anonymity. And so you can go and create an account and just pour your guts out, knowing that it's not going to be assigned to your specific name. And that's so helpful and so freeing. And then so many men are there helping you as you help them. And it's such a wonderful healing environment. And little ad, that was my goal. It's not very Christian friendly. If there's a lot of church hurt, a lot of abuse from priests and ministers and so forth. So there is a little spirituality section, but not a lot, and they don't encourage it. So I wanted to have something similar, and that's what I have in Husband Material. We have a similar forum for survivors, but geared more faith-based, so we can welcome those discussions.
Yes. That was huge. I mean, I had trouble over there because it was not, it was very gay affirming and everything. And so finding somewhere that is faith-based, that helps you, that can pray with you, can support you and love you and understand where you're coming from. Right. It was huge. It's really huge.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah, just so helpful. So Male Survivor, and I think that's where we met originally, was on Male Survivor. And was I the one who got you to come over to HM?
No, it was kind of a freaky thing. I was talking to somebody over on the same-sex attraction site. And somebody sent me, was talking about Husband Material. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And all of a sudden, I got this email, and it had a link to Husband Material. So I thought, okay, you know, AI, it sends you all kinds of stuff. You just have to think about it, and it'll send you something. So I clicked on it, went in, and jumped right into Husband Material, which you're not supposed to be able to do. I went, looked around, read a bunch of stories and stuff, and I thought, well, this, I think, could be a good thing. So I got out of it, tried to get in it the next day, and I had to register and sign up. And I thought, well, is this kind of weird?
You caught a loophole.
That's kind of a bug in the system, I guess. But God used it to drag me in there, and I got in there, and it was great. It's been really a blessing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So what other things have been helping you on your healing journey? And before you answer, I'm going to remind our audience members, if you have any questions for Roger, go ahead and put that in the Q&A, and we will respond to those. So what kind of things are that you find helpful now, other than those things that you mentioned?
I got into Celebrate Recovery for a while, and that was pretty good. But my church had some logistic problems, so they dropped it. And
in case anyone doesn't know, Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based 12-step group in a lot of churches in North America. I think they're trying to go international. It is very faith-based, but it's for any, I think, hurts, habits, and hang-ups is their mantra. So including chemical dependency, porn addiction, and so forth. And we'll have links to that in the show notes as well.
I had a group, kind of an SA group that I oversaw while I was there with that. And they had a problem there, so they ended up closing. I went to my men's group in the church a couple of times. And I wasn't really thrilled with it. It was pretty superfluous. It was just very shallow.
Right. As a lot of Christian men's groups tend to be.
Yeah.
Sadly. Yeah.
They would do this video and they would talk about, oh, how we have to be conquerors and we have to fight the good fight and all that. And I needed a little more instruction on how to do that. And so I told them one night, I said, look, guys, if this is all we're going to do, I'm out of here. But if you're really serious about getting to know each other and supporting each other and their struggles and stuff, that's me. I'm in. And when that stops, then I'm out. I was surprised. I thought they'd just kind of poo-poo me. But no, they were excited about it. They wanted it too. So our men's group has been doing very well. And I have been able to come out to a few of them about my own personal struggles. And I just, it has been really, really great. They're good men, but they've never experienced anything like this where men go deeper. And so this has been exciting, an adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's helpful, embodied brotherhood, that concept. Meeting men in person. And that's been helpful in my own healing journey as well, being involved in my church men's groups, even though it gets very surfacey and it's very hard to go deep, and you can encourage it so far. Works better one-on-one, but yeah. And CR, another great place where they do go a little deeper, and you can find those deeper relationships in person, and they can really help on your healing. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, I know you are also a poet, and you have shared so many. We've had Poetry Slam. You shared there. You've shared several poems in the HM community and then shared several of those on those Male Survivor Awareness Day events. So what do you get out of your poetry? How has that helped you? And how long have you been writing poems?
Well, I'll answer the last one first, because I never started writing poems until I got on Male Survivor. I wrote a couple of limericks, and I wrote some what I would call R-rated poetry. Right. Never mind what it was about. As I started getting into the poetry more, sometimes it would be late at night, sometimes it would be real early in the morning. I would get up and been praying and just thinking about God and stuff and about my life, and it would just flow. It would just kind of come out, and do a little editing and whatnot, and then sometimes I'd post it and sometimes I didn't. Some of the stuff is really personal, and I haven't posted that, but some of the stuff that's kind of generic, and I felt that others might identify with, I would go ahead and post. But I just was looking the other day, I would print them out occasionally and go back and print them out and stash them in this binder. And I realized the other day I had quite a thick binder of poems that I had done. Even I do some stupid poems too, like dashing through the store and to stuff like that about Christmas and about other holidays and about topical stuff. I love the English language because it's so versatile.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. You can, the puns, the innuendos, all kinds of stuff. I have a lot of fun playing with it. But sometimes it comes right from the gut.
Right. Right. And I know I've read that trauma is stored in the right brain, and any kind of creativity, whether it's poetry, music, art, painting, also stored in the right brain. And so oftentimes finding artistic means of expression can often tap in to those wounded, traumatic areas of the brain that just talking about it doesn't necessarily access. But doing something right-brained can help tap into that and give it a release. And I've shared this a few times. I was at an in-person retreat, and during a break, it was all for survivors, for male survivors. This guy mentioned that he did art on the side for fun, and he pulled out his phone and showed us some of his pictures. And I said, well, that's so nice. You use your artwork for part of your therapy and expressing your story and so forth. No, I don't. Yeah, that picture right there was just what you did talked about like an hour ago. That's the river. That's the lake. Those are the trees. It's like, no, it's not. And then another guy next to me, yeah, totally. That's totally that story you just said. I can totally see it. He had no idea, but that wounded boy inside of him was expressing all of his needs and so forth through these random abstract art pictures that this guy was creating, having no clue that he was actually tapping into his own subconscious and telling his story through these pictures. Never made that connection before, and it took outsiders to say, dude, yeah, that's exactly what you were doing. So, yeah, it's amazing how much that using those right brain artistic activities can actually help with the healing process for sure. So, bravo, and you are a master at it. I just have thoroughly enjoyed and been touched by so many of your poems. They're very touching, and God has blessed you with a gift. I have written a few poems, four so far in healing. Three have been published, so that was cool. Yeah, it's not something I normally do a lot, but yeah, you just kind of, the therapist said, give your little child inside of you, give him a keyboard.
Yeah, that's it.
Let him express. And then they're going, yes, and they'll pour it out. And that's what has happened all four of those times. And it just kind of pours out. And then I don't really do much editing. It's just kind of there. It's like, wow, okay. So yeah, give your little one a keyboard.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it happens. It just, I'm surprised. I sit down to start writing about one thing and something else comes out.
Yeah.
And it's good. Feels right. Good.
Yeah. And even talk to them. It's like, okay, here's your keyboard. Go for it. And like, give them permission. Tell them, okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Start writing. And it's like, yay. And they start writing and typing and it just pours out.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's no idea how it works, but it does. And those wounded parts of us can share from their heart. It's weird, it's freaky, but it works really well. We've got one of our audience members said earlier, everything you said, Roger, I could relate to, especially your mentioning about the father-shaped wound part. Thank you. Another member says, you keep working on yourself and seem really, really able to do that for the next quarter century. Multiple kudos, you are an inspiration. You clearly have a strong faith. What kind of calls does God make to you when he sees you are in darker times or pulling away? Or does that ever happen? So when you are feeling yourself in darker times or pulling away from God, what does God use to pull you back? Or what has God used in the past to pull you back? Great question, by the way.
He's used, he's used all kinds of things. I remember one time, this is kind of weird, but I remember one time I was kind of stuck. I knew it, but I just didn't know what to do about it. And I was watching Deep Space Nine. It was one of the first episodes on Deep Space Nine on Star Trek. Sisko was meeting with these entities inside the wormhole. And every time he would meet with them, he would be in this battle, and the one where he lost his wife. And finally, he turned to them and he says, why do you keep bringing me here? This painful place. Why do you keep bringing me? And they said, we don't bring you here. This is where you live. This is where you're at. And we meet you there. And I thought, oh, my God, that's That's what I'm stuck there. That's why I keep going back. That's why I can't get out of here, is because I'm living there. I need to find a way to get past that and let it go.
That's so very profound. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all kinds of things like that. Movies, songs, my kids, my grandkids.
So many things God can use to speak to us. Yes, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent. So anything else you would like to share in closing? Any words of wisdom? Or do you have a fresh poem you'd like to share?
I don't have a fresh poem. I think one of the things that I have clung to is that no matter what happens, Jesus will help me. If I just don't let go, Jesus will get me through. I learned that as a little boy. I would lose things, lose little toys. And I would pray and ask Jesus to help me find it. And I'll look around again and boom, there it is. And I had just looked there. And things like that.
I do that as a grown-up still, because I'm constantly losing things. Lord, help me find this. And
yep, oh, he does. He helped me find my wedding ring. I lost my wedding ring not too long ago, and he helped me find that. And it's true. He loves me. And my wife will say, well, aren't you lucky? And I said, Jesus loves me. He loves me. What can I say? He blesses me in spite of, many times, instead of because of, because he just really loves me. Yes. And if you can grab a hold of that, if you can hang on to that, that by faith, it will be rewarded.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So the very, very true words indeed. Thank you so much, Roger, for being here, and pray a continued blessing on your healing journey. And can't wait to hear more of the poems that God is going to inspire you to write as you continue to heal. Thank you so much, Roger, and we'll see you all next week. If you would like to learn more about my coaching with Polar Live Consulting, where I provide one-on-one coaching and group coaching, both with a focus on healing for male survivors, reach out to me at polarliveconsulting.com. That is Polar, spelled P-O-L-A-R. I would love to hear from you. I want to hear your story. If you would like your story featured on this podcast, contact me via my website. If you like this podcast, please rate and review, because that's how other people can find me, and I really want to spread this message of healing and hope to others. And remember, you are not alone. Healing is possible, and the abuse was not your fault. Let me repeat that. The abuse was not your fault. See you next time on the Healing for Male Survivors podcast.